Hey there, and welcome back to the Live Support Ops Hangout. This is our weekly podcast that helps you deliver a better support experience for your customers. I'm your host, Chase Clements. On today's show, we're going to look at just how important customer satisfaction is. That phrase gets thrown around a lot, how we have a whole podcast about it, basically. But we want to really dig in and give you some ammunition for convincing those higher up on the totem pole than you that it really is important. But before we jump to that, let's go ahead and intro our panel if you haven't met them yet. First up is Jeff from Wistia. Normally, Jeff's at the end of this whole opening bit, so we're sliding him to the beginning this week to give him the first dibs. So how are things?
I'm good, thanks. Feeling extra special now that I'm first in line.
Yeah, we got to divvy it up, you know? It's one of those where usually I just kind of run down the YouTube video preview thing at the bottom, and you just always get put right before me for some reason. Then, Chase Livingston from Automatic, who has survived the flooding and proven just how much, how effective remote working is while doing it. So, you didn't float away. This is great.
No, it didn't float away. Luckily, we're a little, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from the craziness of the flooding in South Carolina. So, definitely thinking about all the friends and things I have down there, because it's a pretty bad situation.
Now, this is also the week where Chase just decided not to leave the house. It's just for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
So this week, like I mentioned, we're talking about customer satisfaction, how important that is. We've all, if you're in customer support, you've probably either uttered the phrase or heard the phrase or written the phrase or whatever, that a happy customer is a customer that sticks with you. That's it's just how it is. It's a lot cheaper to keep a customer compared to bringing in a brand new customer, getting them trained on your product, and then continuing to keep them for as long as you can. So we all know that, but sometimes it can be a little tough convincing others in management, your CEO, CFOs, your co-founders, whatever, just how important customer satisfaction and how integral your job is. So before we hit episode 100, we just wanted to touch on this as a good kind of like in-between break between episode 0 and episode 200. So let's dive in with, we'll start with Jeff on this one. When it comes to Wistia, you know, you look at all of your customers, you look at how much time, money, training, and everything else you put into training your support team. Is that a good indicator of just how much emphasis Wistia puts on customer satisfaction?
I think that's an indicator. I think that's one of many. You know, for us, it's like a reason why we're in business is to take care of the customer. Like, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have this company and wanted to have customers in the first place, was to take good care of them and have that opportunity to serve them. But I also think, you know, for many business apps, I mean, I don't think WordPress is necessarily in this. Well, no, that's not right. I think everybody's in this category, especially when there's another option, another paying option. But if you don't take good care of your customers, somebody else will. Right, and we're up against, you know, we're a small, Wistia is a fairly niche player in the video space. I mean, all of our customers have, you know, in varying forms, YouTube or Vimeo or some other paid option at their disposal if they want. So, you know, if we're putting their satisfaction in there and really their success, right, their growth above everything else in what we're doing, then in the long term, we're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that simple. There's the example I always give is, so there's this local place here in town, and I was going to buy a lawnmower from them. Kind of run of the typical, like, you can go anywhere and buy a lawnmower, right? It's not hard. Everyone kind of has basically the same models at the end of the day. So I go over there and buy it. Well, I don't buy it. I walk into the store. I'm kind of looking around, looking at, you know, the different models they offer. Nobody ever said hi. Nobody ever come over to ask if I needed anything. And this is a brand new user experience, right? So I walk in, nobody ever said anything. You know, I spent 15, 20 minutes looking around, and I wasn't comfortable enough to drop $2,000 or $3,000 with a company that just didn't have anything, that wasn't interacting with me really. So I went across the street to a mom and pop place, and as soon as you open the door, they're right there. You know, asking how my day is, what I'm looking for, not trying to sell me a specific mower, but trying to figure out what my problem is. And in this case, I've got to cut some grass and how much grass I have to cut. And then figure out which mower, which product is the right one for me in this case. As soon as they did that, I knew I was going to have a good experience. And now whenever I need anything else related to buying mowers or weeders or anything else I need around the farm, they're who I go back to. Small mom and pop place. I could have went anywhere else. There are places that are probably a little bit cheaper and that kind of thing, but they have a lifelong customer in me now just because I was satisfied. I was happy at the end of giving them money, which is kind of a rare thing. So Chase, with Automattic, with WordPress, I mean, y'all power, like, was it 30, 35% of the web now? Some crazy number. How important is the support team and taking care of your customers, and how important is that related to, you know, building WordPress and having an awesome product and all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, super important, especially now with, you know, so many other options people have in, you know, the Squarespaces, the Weeblies, the even Mediums. You know, I would consider a little bit of a competitor to what we're doing over, especially WordPress.com, the, you know, the hosted solution. You know, our customer satisfaction is very important, and we obviously are trying to do everything we can to make sure that they have the best experience possible. So it's one reason we're, you know, really making a big push for live chat, to allow customers to get in touch with us quickly and hopefully resolve their problems just as quickly, not having to wait around for, you know, a reply to an email and that kind of thing. And then, you know, obviously we track how happy customers are with the help that they do get, you know, as, you know, as a response to, you know, different ratings for each interaction they have with us. So we don't, you know, necessarily do things based on those numbers, but, you know, being able to see those numbers and then, you know, draw some conclusions based on what numbers we're seeing as far as the ratings go can definitely help in, you know, future decisions and things like that around how we support our users.
Yeah, can you kind of talk a little bit about those numbers there? Just because I know numbers don't drive the product totally, but they have to make it a little bit easier when, you know, you say, hey, here's this bug that's costing us X number of customers each month because they're not satisfied, they're not happy, they're leaving, and here's X amount of money. So those have to help with those kind of debates that you have with higher ups.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, bugs that are, you know, affecting people and that kind of thing. But yeah, at some point, you sort of have to prioritize those based on, you know, number one, how many users they're affecting, and number two, how serious, you know, the issue is. So obviously, if we have a security issue that's disclosed with Jetpack that puts, you know, user sites at risk, that's going to be something that's going to be fixed, you know, as quickly as possible. You know, if there's an issue that's a conflict between, you know, another plugin that not many sites use that a user's having, since it's only affecting, you know, maybe a handful of folks, that one's going to get, you know, prioritized a little bit lower. So yeah, those kinds of numbers, how many people it's affecting, and two, you know, how much potential money or even just how many users it could be costing us is something that sort of drives that decision.
Yeah, Jeff. So Jeff, when you're looking at Wistia, you know, when you're looking at, if you want to get all tech lingo and everything else, we're talking about churn, right? We're talking about the number of customers that are unhappy, that aren't satisfied, that are leaving at the end of the month. So Jeff, when it comes time to have conversations about how to keep your customers as customers, are you looking to your support team for those kind of numbers like that, for that kind of data that says, you know, we lost so many customers in churn because of this specific thing?
Yeah, most definitely. So we have an exit survey that we use to collect when customers are canceling or thinking about canceling. And that tells us at a pretty high level what the big buckets of churn are. And then we do lean on the support team to kind of dissect that and say, you know, what percentage of people are, of the percentage of people who are choosing, you know, the product no longer provided me the value that I hoped it would. Who out of that group are we talking to in support, or what are some ways that we could have talked to them earlier, got ahead of that problem? Can we get in touch with them now and find out what their use case was and what changed? You know, maybe Wistia didn't grow with their business or something like that. We talk about it internally that we don't currently have a churn problem. That's not something that's a huge problem for our business currently, but that. That type of feedback, right, and training your team to be on the look for that and also how to interview customers to learn more about that means that you'll never, you know, you'll be out in front of that. You'll hopefully never have a churn problem, fingers crossed. So that is something that the support team, we look to the support team quite frequently for.
You brought up something a little interesting there. And as far as being on the lookout for people that are at risk of churning or at risk of leaving for another app. So say you get an email from somebody who says, you know, here's my problem with Wistia, whatever that problem is. How does your support team handle it if it's not something that y'all are going to fix? You know, if it's a bug that's lower on the radar or lower on the priority list, or if it's just a feature you're not going to add, how do you handle a customer like that with the mindset of, you know, we want to keep them happy because we want to keep them as customers?
Yeah, I think the first half is super relevant, right? How do you handle that? I don't know always that the second half is our end goal in that conversation. But we do want to, this is an episode in and of itself. I'll try to keep it quick. We do want to understand what's driving that need, right? Let's get in as deep as we can with the customer and learn what the business case is for requiring that feature. Or, you know, in the case of a bug, I mean, it's a little bit different. Why is that so? Maybe that functionality is so important to them, right? Why is it breaking just for them all the time? Something like that. Mm-hmm. And then we try to understand, and we try to have the shared context so that it doesn't have to be a conversation every time. Where are we going? And who are we serving? And if this customer lines up with the group that we're serving, we have a special process for dealing with that, mm-hmm. right? And that means that we tend to fix those as quickly as possible, right? We prioritize fixing those for the customers that are sort of in the Wistia happy path. Something we did is creating a problem for them. But there are definitely cases where they, you know, what they want to do no longer lines up with what Wistia is designed to do. Right. Maybe their new marketing consultant is recommending that they use YouTube. And at this point, it's a Wistia and YouTube conversation. Wistia does not directly support using YouTube. So it might be that they no longer see a point in using Wistia, the platform. And that may be true. But we could work, you know, we should be getting in a little bit deeper with them to figure out if that's the case, then the happiest thing for them is to be upfront and let them make the decision. The one thing we should never do is kind of like draw it out, you know, or give them vague answers that lead them to spend, you know, months, a few more months on the platform so we can get a little bit more money before they eventually discover that we're never going to do that and then cancel. So ultimately, happiness could be a very quick and direct response about the chances we're going to implement something or fix the bug that's really holding them up.
Cool. So as far as, you know, taking, and Chase Livingston, we'll go with you on this one to start. So how do you look at what customers you're interacting with, what data you're seeing as far as how much customers are, or how, you know, how happy your customers are? How do you take all that and present a case to those higher up than you that customer satisfaction is important? You know, so if we're talking about like WordPress in particular here, if one of the WordPress product teams comes along and says, hey, we want to do this feature, and they ask the customer support side about it, and support says, you know, we think it's going to make X amount of users happy. How do you kind of convince them of that? Is it just show raw numbers and try to make the best argument that way?
Yeah, I mean, raw numbers are definitely a part of it. I think, you know, it's obvious for most teams that that's probably one of the best, you know, metrics or ways you can go about that. I think, too, you know, at least at Automatic and hopefully at a lot of other companies as well, that, you know, the communication and the decisions around those kinds of things are very transparent. So, you know, yeah, when a new feature like that is being discussed or, you know, the other way around, when, you know, we're having some struggles with the way something works in the app or the plugin or something like that, you know, we can, you know, just open that discussion and talk with the product teams and developers, especially about, you know, what's going on. And, you know, essentially they, They seem to really value our opinions, which is a good thing. I think that's, you know, sort of baked into the culture of Automatic, since everybody, you know, does support rotations at least once a year and that kind of thing. You know, supports opinions are highly valued. And so, you know, if we say something's not working quite right, then they're definitely going to take a look at it, and vice versa. If something that they've done is working really well, we'll let them know that and let them know that we're, you know, thankful for it. So, yeah, there's an open line of communication and just an easy way, at least at Automatic, to be able to kind of have those conversations and make sure that everybody knows about it.
Have you ever been at a company where that open line of communication wasn't there? Like, I think all of us pretty much, you know, when we're talking about Buffer, Wistia, Automatic, or Basecamp, we're pretty lucky in the fact that our entire company has bought into the idea that, you know, customer support, customer service is a feature, just like, you know, how fast your app is or that cool new bell or gadget or gizmo or whatever. So, Chase, what would you say to somebody that's at a company that isn't like that, who the upper management maybe is just focused on product rather than, you know, keeping customers happy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough situation to be in. And so, you know, I think one thing is, if somebody's in that situation, is definitely, you know, work on gathering some numbers and some data and that kind of thing that you can present to your management about how important, you know, customer satisfaction is, and you know, that if users aren't happy, you know, obviously they're going to let support know, and you can pass those, you know, unhappy emails or whatever it might be on to, you know, the product team and the leadership to show them that, hey, you know, we have X number of users who are unhappy about this change we made, and they say they're not going to pay for our service again next month. You know, this is, you know, something we should look at, and, you know, hopefully over time, you know, after enough of those, the leadership of the company will take note of that and realize, hey, you know, this is something we should really be focusing on. And we, you know, can obviously trust the instincts of our, you know, customer support manager or our happiness engineers, whatever it might be. And, you know, then hopefully they get included in those discussions in the future so that they won't have situations like that happen any longer.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, that sounds like the right approach and everything. What happens when you just, like, it's like hitting a brick wall? I mean, I had a job before at a restaurant where, you know, some of the lower managers would have good ideas about ways that we could, you know, make our customers a little bit happier, make employees a little bit happier, streamline things and all that kind of stuff. We'd suggest them up to the general manager, and nothing ever happened. You submit it up to the district manager, nothing ever happens. So again, not that this happens really a lot with our companies, but, you know, what if you're at a company where you just keep hitting a brick wall every time you try to bring up, you know, this is something that's affecting customers like this?
Yeah, I really feel for people in that situation. And I don't feel like I have a game plan for how you can turn that around.
Come on, where's the magic bullet, the silver bullet?
I know, right? Well, maybe that's the right point to make, is that there really isn't a silver bullet for that. You know, and there are certainly times where we have discussions about the business, and I present what I think is the right option for customers. But there's always the far side of that argument, which is we'd sell a lot more Wistia if it was free. Right. Well, why don't we just give it all away? Then we could save all of our customers so much money. And then, you know, wouldn't we be great? We'd just be heroes, but we'd also be out of business.
You have so many more users, though. And then you could, like, yeah, you could do an Evernote, and you'd have, like, Wistia notebooks and Wistia iPhone pads.
Oh, man, it would be so great. Yeah. Just everyone behind the scenes scrambling to figure out how to make money, but people just using the heck out of the service.
VC funding. That's the answer.
Yeah.
maybe that's the silver bullet.
That's the silver bullet. Take more funding. I think it is important to have a conversation about values in that case, the values of the company, and figure out if they line up with your own values. And I don't feel like the recommendation should ever be, like, quit your job, like, leave, because I know there's lots of people in situations where it's like, well, you know, it wouldn't just be easy for me to pick up and find another job. So, you know, thanks for that recommendation. But I do think in that case, putting some pressure on management to say, like, you know, this is what comes intuitively to me because of my values. And my values are that if we have customers, we should take care of them. I want to understand a little bit more about what the values are that are running the business for you, right? That are helping inform you and your decisions. Because if the only values that you have are more money, fewer problems, I don't think that that's a long-term strategy at this point. It might be in certain industries, but for us, it certainly would not be. So at least at that point, you can have a discussion about the root cause of this, right? Rather than feeling like every time a recommendation comes, or an action item comes across your desk and you're like, this is just going to piss people off. And it's my job to put in an action and I'm the one that's going to, kind of look like a jerk, or I am now the one that has to work at a company that comes off like a jerk. And I feel like we could do better. So that's probably where I would start, is just understanding what the values of of management are in that case. And then if they don't line up with your own, you can kind of make a proactive decision about whether you want to stay there or not.
Yeah, that's one of those. I'm kind of like you. It's you don't want to ever just recommend, hey, pack your bags, move on to a different company, to a different city, or what else. But there are times where that just has to happen. Like the restaurant that I mentioned, it was, I learned a lot, but at the end of the day, it was their values didn't really line up with the ones that I had, so it was time to find somewhere else. So that's definitely like nuke option, right? Like don't do that. One day after, submitting an idea to management and then being like, oh, yeah, this, no, we're not going to do that. Like,
Right. And
yeah.
I think that that's right. I think what Chase Livingston also makes a lot of sense, that, I mean, in most businesses, you're advertising, right, to bring people in. And if you can track down or just ballpark about how much you're spending in advertising in a given month, it's like, hey, we're spending, a million plus every single month. That's $12 million a year to bring people in the door. Here's a conversation on Twitter, or, here's an email from a customer that says they referred someone else to our restaurant, our product, our service, our app, whatever. And it didn't cost us a thing. All we had to do was be good to that person, and they spread it to somebody else. And it's way more effective than that billboard we have out on the highway. So if we took those $12 million every year and we invested them in the people who work here or in our customers, how many more of them would tell their friends? And we'd have even more customers for life and even more money we could invest. It's a great flywheel. So something like that, is kind of like a high level argument, not a specific project argument, but something that I would throw out there.
Yeah. All right. So last kind of thing I want to touch on before we move into shout outs and everything else. And Lewiston, we'll start with you on this one. So if you haven't joined a company yet, Jeff brought up a good point here, making sure that the company's values align with your values. So if you haven't joined up with a company yet, if you're in the hiring stage and you're in the interviews and that kind of thing, what's some ways that you can tease out just how much importance that leadership team puts on customer satisfaction and keeping their customers happy?
Yeah, I think that is probably. I mean, it may not be super tough to tease out. You just have to, ask the right questions, I think, and how I would definitely talk about their, organizational structure and that kind of thing, and is support. And, does it seem like it's a top level team, or is it stuffed under, some other random team that obviously is probably not going to be very important. And two, I would, maybe even try to contact support anonymously yourself or something like that, and see how it goes. Talk with the support team, and if you know of a bug, or you could find a, try to find a bug, ask them about it, and see what happens, and see how internally they may deal with that, and then externally what they tell you, and whether or not that's going to get fixed, all those kinds of things. So yeah, I would say give it a shot, see how it goes, and then two, yeah, like I said, ask the right questions and find out how support works at that company, how many folks are doing support, how it's structured and all that kind of good stuff.
Chase out there secret shopping other companies. That's nice. I like that. You did mention questions. I want to push you a little bit on this one. Like what kind of questions should you be asking? Is it just straight up like, how many people you got on your support team? Or is it like, is there any kind of, I don't know, like hidden lingo or whatever that will help you get to those kind of questions?
I I mean, at least I don't know of any, you know, hidden lingo that I've used in the past and, you know, interviews and things. But, yeah, I mean, how many, you know, if it's not common knowledge or not public knowledge, you know, how many folks are working in support? You know, who does, like, the support team lead report to? Or, you know, if, or do they report directly to the CEO or whoever's in, you know, a major leadership position at the company? Or do they report to somebody else who then reports to the CEO? I think that makes, you know, a big difference. So, yeah, just asking those kinds of questions and sort of trying to gauge where the support team sits in relation to other teams and that kind of thing at the company, I think can give you a good idea of how much the company values their support team.
Yeah, and speaking of talking with, like, specific people on a team, a good indicator, watch Twitter feeds, watch blogs and that kind of thing. They're not going to air company grievances. Like, don't expect that. But if you look at somebody like Carolyn's blog or any of the Buffer folks, right, like their writing exudes happiness for the customer. So you can tell that that's something that's baked into Buffer's DNA. Jeff, same question over to you. You know, what kind of things or should somebody be asking about when they're in those interviews to kind of figure out how important customers are to that company?
I think, like Chase said early on, you're asking them about their values, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just, my mind is completely blown by this sleuthing approach. It never would have occurred to me. A lot of times I feel like you can tell whether a company cares or not, right? Because they're putting things in their releases like, we actually listen to feedback, right? Or we're actually in this to do something great. For customers, so that's why we launched this. And you're like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. This is more from like a, you know, SaaS product or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, Comcast and AT&T both have customer care teams, and their level of caring.
That's true. That is a good point. But how often do you hear them say, "We really listened to your feedback, and that's why we launched this"? And then you say, "Oh my gosh, they actually get it." I've never felt that way. As opposed to something like, well, we try to do it all the time, but, you know, Basecamp has done this for sure. We listen to feedback, and what we're not going to do is launch Basecamp, you know, Delta, whatever comes after next.
We're on numbers now. So Basecamp 3, Basecamp 2, Basecamp 3.
Yeah, we're not going to launch Basecamp 3 exactly the way we did Basecamp Next, Basecamp 2, whatever. You know, or tools, I mean, GitHub is famous for this, right? We actually know how people use the system. We've been watching them. And so we release stuff that makes it even better to do that. Slack is one that everyone's a big fan of now. That kind of gives you a sense for the type of, I feel like product is the best way to get a sense for whether across the company they actually care about the people that are in their target market, right? Support, it can be kind of hard to, if you're outside of the company, look at what their support is like. But yeah, Twitter feeds are probably a good one. I know we've been asked all the time, you know, one of your company values at Wistia is that you put the customer first. Can you give me some examples of that? What processes do you have internally that actually show that the customer comes first? To which we cite, you know, rituals and internal processes like our story time, right? Mm-hmm. We have a Slack channel and a weekly show and tell where we're talking about a specific customer showing off their use case and some of their videos. That when you're actually put on the spot to answer questions like that, is sort of that rubber meets the road moment. You can say it all you want, but do you actually have concrete evidence of you know, the way you care?
I feel like we need like an at Wistia Cares account now on Twitter. You just randomly ask them, be like, "Hey, so when's the last time you cared about one of your customers?" They're like, "Bam, story time, last week, right here."
It's so true. It's so, so true.
Yeah. And just to throw my final thoughts and all that, you know, that's one of those where, if you're looking at a company, looking to get hired, you don't want to get burned around this whole topic with them, because that's a big thing, right? So if you get into a company and you don't really know what you're getting into, and all of a sudden you're asked to make, you know, to toe the company line, even though your customers are going to hate the fact that you have to tell them this. A good example is, you know, if you work at a company that's not real lenient with like refunds, for example, and customers are all the time writing about that, and you have to be like, "Look, sorry, you know, I agree with you, but company says, management says." You know, if you don't want to end up in a company like that, do your homework before you go in. When you go into those interviews, a lot of time they're going to have a section there where they're asking, you know, do you have any questions for us? And that's the point where you start asking about these things, start asking about their processes around, you know, keeping their customers happy and what will happen, you know, if John Smith turns up like a bug, like how's that handled? And you know, just do a little secret shopping, like Chase Livingston mentioned. Put on your Sherlock hat, do a little sleuthing. It'd be a lot of fun. So yeah, that's kind of what we thought about this whole importance of customer satisfaction topic, at least in a 30-minute nutshell. Anyways, we could probably talk about this for days. But let us know what you thought. supportops.co/contact, or hit us up on Twitter. We're at supportops there. And let us know how you know, how you're letting your upper management know that customers are important. What, you know, what data you're watching and passing on to them, or what tips and tricks you've got as far as, you know, making sure that they know just how important their customers are. Let us know, supportops.co/contact, or supportops on Twitter. Before we jump into the last segment of the show, I just want to let you know we're collecting questions for our next rapid fire show. We've done 2, I think, so far, maybe 3. That's probably something I should have looked up and been more prepared on. 2, I think we're at 2. But these are the episodes where we try to touch on as many short questions as we can. Things like favorite support apps, what's required reading for support teams, just those kind of short, quick questions that you want to hear an answer from us on. We've got that one slotted for our 99th episode. That way, our 100th episode we'll be fresh and bright-eyed and ready to tackle a huge topic that we've been saving for that one. So hit us up with those short questions, supportops on Twitter, or shoot me an email, chase@supportops.co. To wrap everything up, let's go ahead and dive into my favorite part of the week. It's this week's shout-outs. These are the things that are making us happy, so happy we want to shout them out from the rooftops and mountaintops to let you know that, well, we like them and that you should probably like them too. So, Jeff, let's start with you on this one. Since Jeff, you went first in the panel hello and everything else, we'll let you go first and let Chase Livingston have the last word.
Okay, perfect. Since Carolyn is not here, I am going to take up a little bit more time than normal.
Do it.
So my apologies for that, but this came in, so while we were on the show, I got some Slack notifications that a Hall of Fame support email had been written by a member of our marketing department, so I had to go and research. So we do all-hands support on Mondays, so today is her part of her all-hands support today. So we, for context, we have an email. If you are delinquent in payments, there is an email that goes out. This was written probably 10 years ago, that says, greetings from Wistia, your credit card is outdated or whatever, you owe some money. And the closing is, it would be much appreciated by the walrus in our billing department. Thanks, your friend at Wistia. And that is a shout out to, years ago, we had the walrus as our mascot. Well, we got a reply today from a customer who said, as much as they may appreciate it, it doesn't sound so nice to call your billing person a walrus. He or she may be sensitive about their weight and may not appreciate it being broadcast to your customers. We do want to keep them happy, though, so we'll update the card on file as noted, which was pretty amazing. And Elise, this is a shout-out to Elise from our marketing team, who wrote back, hi, Russ, we appreciate your concern surrounding the state of the billing walrus. I'm just going to read this because it's that good. However, I can't help but set the facts straight here. Our billing employee is an actual living Odobensis rosmaris. When the walrus first applied, she was transparent about her mammalian status, and there was quite a bit of internal debate here at Wistia about whether we could sufficiently alter our working environment to accommodate another species, especially one requiring a very different atmosphere from what we humans prefer to remain content and productive. It took months of back and forth with our landlord to receive approval for the indoor ice bath. You know how those landlords can be sometimes. But we feel confident that we've created a work environment that is truly walrus friendly. After a few minor roadblocks, we now truly believe the billing walrus is living her best life here at Wistia.
That is the best thing that of the month, of the quarter, the fall. That is fantastic.
So I absolutely had to shout that out. A lot of people, you know, who maybe listen to the show probably wonder what support is like at Wistia. That is not what support is always like, but that is certainly Hall of Fame worthy when it comes to Wistia support. So I had to shout that out. That happened mid-show, and I've been laughing about it sort of in the background ever since. I also wanted to shout out a great article, an interview with Eduardo Garcia, who is a chef and entrepreneur in Montana, who he was electrocuted a few years ago and lost the use of one of his arms. They had to amputate his arm, and he is a chef. And this article, this interview, goes into depth about his life and all the stuff, you know, all the different, he's got work, got like 10 projects going on. And there's even some video in there that shows off him cooking with the one arm. So really inspiring stuff, and just got me super jazzed this morning when I read it. So you should definitely check out that interview on The Great Discontent with Eduardo Garcia.
Love it. Livingston, what you got?
Mine's pretty simple. Back to the old, Apper or something like that kind of shout outs. But I want to shout out the new Apple Notes app on OS 10 and iOS. I think the updates that they've done to it are pretty awesome. For me, you know, there was always sort of a disconnect between, like, should I use Evernote or should I use Simple Note? You know, Simple Note is extremely simple, but it only does text, and Evernote is, like, way too complicated for, you know, what I do. So I think Apple Notes kind of sits in a nice place there. I can still add PDFs or images or that kind of thing, but you know, it's also super easy to just, you know, bang out a quick text note or something like that, and you know, have it searchable for later. So I would definitely check it out if you have been using, you know, anything else and are looking for a really nice simple solution.
Nice. Yeah, I used that for the first time with my grocery shopping list this week, which is fantastic, because, like, there was one thing as I was walking out the door, Heather, my wife, was like, hey, don't forget to get this. And so I was able to, like, make a big arrow, like, draw a big arrow on the note. Absolutely fantastic, something you couldn't do before. So my shout out this week, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw it about an hour and a half ago, whatever. NASA has released over 8,400 high-res unprocessed images from the Apollo missions. It covers pretty much all of them. And it was really awesome to go in and see these raw files, that, you know, these raw Hasselblad photos from so long ago. In their like raw pure form, it was just something really cool. It's so many photos. I've only barely scratched the surface at looking at all of them, but it's just, again, there's just no words for it. It's absolutely incredible. I love that NASA made it available, and so kudos to them and for doing that. So I'll have that and all of the other show notes up, supportops.co. We'll have all those up shortly. Programming note: we are off next week. Is it next week? Oh, hold on. Before I say that, I feel like it's not next week, and I just told everybody it is next week. It is not next week. We are off the 19th. I'm glad I caught myself on that one. We're off the 19th. So we do have an episode next week. We're going to be talking about how to run your team meetings. It's going to be a lot of fun on that one. So make sure you tune in for that one. Between now and then, if you got a chance and are feeling generous in a review type mood, hit up supportops.co/iTunes. That'll take you right over to the iTunes page where you can let us know what you are thinking and put a star value on the show and how much value you're getting out of it, since we're giving it away for free and not charging like those folks over at Wistia. So, you know, leave us a nice review on that. If you don't really do the whole review thing, that's awesome too. Do us a favor, just share a link to one of the episodes on Twitter and let people know they should be watching the show. It'll make me, plus the other Chase, plus Jeff. I was going to say the other Jeff, but there's only one Jeff. Plus Jeff and Carolyn too, really happy. So do that for us. Until we'll be back, like I mentioned, next week, talking about team meetings and all the fun that comes with it. And until we see you then, have an awesome week.